Songs are memories, music is therapy. Hello and welcome to another episode of You, Me, the 80s and the 90s. As always, I'm Wayne Sunks.
And I'm Emma Louise.
How are you, Emma?
Yeah, pretty good. Having a busy week thus far. Mary Poppins opens tomorrow.
Very exciting stuff. Your daughter performing an opening night, which is great.
Yes, she is. So we've been very busy with that.
But yes, Emma's been stage mumming.
I am, and I can't wait for the after party tomorrow, truth be told.
What?
What? Emma likes a party?
All right, well, let us get into the episode. And we're going to start off with a top five from 1991. I chose a bunch of really great songs that were in the charts around this time. And let's start off with an Aussie/Canadian, Wendy Matthews, Let's Kiss Like Angels Do. The song reached number 14 in Australia, which surprises me actually, because I remember in 1991 it was everywhere.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear it's only hit 14.
Yeah, I think I remember during that holidays, the school holidays when this came out, I was painting my bedroom.
Right.
I was painting it a very interesting shade of green.
oh, dear.
And it was my favourite colour at the time. Uh-huh. I don't know. And so I was listening to the radio all day long and I just remember this song was being played a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Na, 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 na. Yeah.
It's really joyous.
It is. It's a lovely, bouncy song. I mean, we've spoken about Wendy Matthews before. Her vocals are just pretty exquisite. She's got a super clear, just beautiful voice.
Yeah, she does. She has a really wonderful storytelling voice.
Mm. You understand every word she's saying.
Yes. Like, yeah. She's not a mumbler.
Yeah.
But yes, just a beautiful vocalist. So we claim her as an Australian because she moved here, but she's originally from Canada.
Yes. But then I think I love her story. When she was like 15 or 16 years old, she left school in Canada and went busking across North America and going south down to Mexico, in fact, with friends. And then she was just hanging out in LA, busking, making jewellery, working as a session singer. Like,
yeah,
very free spirit at a young age.
Yes. And so she, I guess the way she came via Australia is so in LA, Aussie singer Glenn Shorrock, who used to be in Little River Band, asked her to provide backing vocals on his solo album, Villain of the Peace, from 1982, and to join him on his subsequent six-week tour of Australia in 83. Mm. Matthews decided to stay in Sydney at the tour's completion and found herself as an in-demand session vocalist and singing jingles. She also sang on albums for Jimmy Barnes, Richard Clapton, Tim Finn and Ice House, as well as The Models' Out of Mind, Out of Sight with Kate Sobrano.
Yeah, well, she was a regular vocalist with The Models then after that, wasn't she?
Yeah, and you can understand. It's what we were talking about as well. Like, you just know somebody is a good vocalist if you have been a backing vocalist for all of those legendary Aussie artists.
Yeah, yeah. It's no wonder she stuck around. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Good career move.
Yeah. And then she had a good solo career. She didn't have the biggest solo career or the flashiest solo career, but she had a really good career. I bought her greatest hits album, I think it was about 2000, 2001 that it came out. And like every single song on it is fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you just heard a little bit of that snippet of that song and you went, oh, that sounds nice, I reckon you should check her out. She does do a lot of ballads and she really can hit those ballads.
Oh, The Day You Went Away is just...
is one of the most exquisite songs of all time. It's all about somebody's partner dying and it's just...
Have we talked about that one yet?
I can't remember.
Oh, neither can I. We've talked about so many songs.
But it's a great song.
Yes. This song here earned her an ARIA nomination for Best Female Artist, I think. Ah. I don't know who took it out that year, actually. I should have a look because I'm surprised she didn't.
Well, she won. I've got down that she won Best Female Artist in 1991. So,
oh, okay. Maybe this was 1992. This one was for. So that would have been a previous song.
There you go. Well, that same album, previous song.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah. So, yes, because this was the third single from her debut album. Yes. Yes. Yeah, great stuff. Oh, because Token Angels was the first single and that was beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
But one of the big ones that we remember her for here in Australia is her song with a group called Absent Friends, which last episode we were talking about supergroups, and Absent Friends was a bit of an Aussie supergroup mm-hmm. with members of lots of different bands, and they had a song called I Don't Want to Be With Nobody But You, and it's just stunning.
Yes, yeah. I was always surprised that was an Absent Friends song and not a Wendy Matthews song.
Yeah, because you just think of her because it's her voice and it's stunning. So, I guess I'm gushing over her a lot, but I've always been a massive fan of hers.
Nice.
I would love to see her live in concert. I wonder
if she still tours.
I think infrequently.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, next time she's in town, you
fingers
and me.
Crossed.
Let's go.
Let's move on to another one, which shocked me was the biggest hit here in Australia and not elsewhere. It's Sheena Easton and What Comes Naturally. I've been looking for you, you've been looking for me. Let's get together and do what comes naturally. There's a time to be wild, there's a time to be free. Let's get together and do what comes naturally. I've been looking for you, you've been looking for me. Let's stay together and do what comes naturally. The song reached 4 in Australia, 19 in the US and 83 in the UK.
Only 83.
That's hot. That's horrific that she only got to 83 in the UK.
I don't remember this song. I didn't.
I bought the 7-inch single.
Did you?
When I was in high school. I was in year 11 when this came out and just loved it. It was one of my favourite songs of 1991 and I just have such fond memories of this song. I think it is fun. I think it's great. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I like the chorus. It's quite catchy.
Yeah.
Bit of an earworm gets in your head.
Yeah.
The rest, not completely.
Oh, no. The best part is when she sort of does that, the talk
weird
singing.
Rap.
The crazy, it's getting kind of wild. That's so good. It is so great. I was driving along last night listening to it and I was like, yeah, this is good. Yeah.
Sing it to me, Sheena.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was singing it to her too.
It's interesting because it's very kind of different from some of her other earlier stuff. They were deliberately trying to do that and market her to a younger market.
Yeah. And I think because they realised quickly that the sexy stuff sold better.
Yeah.
You know, because Sugar Walls, her song, which, you know, you can guess what Sugar Walls is about.
What's Sugar Walls about?
Really?
What?
Her Sugar Walls.
Okay. I'm looking at
you. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. The gay man explained female anatomy to you.
Sugar Walls?
Yeah.
I've never heard them referred to as that before.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Wow.
But that song,
something new every day,
after trying to be banned by a religious group, went huge in America. So I think they realised that, you know, a little bit naughty Sheena Easton does well.
Okay. Okay, and What Comes Naturally was the album title as well, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that album did really well. That spent weeks and weeks on the charts, I think. And I read somewhere the cover of that, talking about it, they say, we were going for a sort of tramped up ballerina who moonlights as either a casino craps dealer or a New Jersey hairdresser with a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
Do you think?
And to continue that, we struggle with props ultimately going with a toddler's high chair over an infant's seesaw.
Oh, gosh. funny.
You know you've got to find your inspiration somewhere.
Indeed.
Yep. I actually think that's a really good television series I would watch, a New Jersey hairdresser with a gambling addiction. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's write it.
How's your Jersey accent?
I'm not going to try that right now. I'm too tired.
But yes, this was her final US top 20 hit to date in the US. I'm glad that it charted over there and did better over there than it did in the UK.
Indeed.
She's an interesting figure. Her mother was married to a foundry worker who died when Sheena was 10. She went to work in a factory to support her daughter. Sheena has said, some of my earliest memories of performing are when I was about 4 or 5, singing at my Aunt Mary's silver wedding anniversary. She recalled, I remember the applause and liking it. Kids love attention and I still need that. Essentially all performers are kids. And I think that's really insightful.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember actually as a kid myself performing, Mum would ask me to trot out my latest poem at whatever family gatherings were happening and I would love the applause that followed. Yeah.
Yeah, and performers never get over that. They just seek it over and over
big
again.
Kids. Yeah. They never let up.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, we've talked about Sheena Easton before too. 6-time Grammy nominee.
Yep.
2-time Grammy Award winner, I think.
And she appeared in 5 episodes of Miami Vice as Don Johnson's love interest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not that I ever watched Miami Vice.
I have vague memories of it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right, let's move on to our third song for today, and it's Living Colour with Love Rears, It's Ugly Head. The song reached 10 in Australia and 12 in the UK. It's another one where it did best in Australia and it shocks me because this song, again, was everywhere here.
It didn't rank in the US at all.
No. I don't know if it's whether it's because it was only released, the album's released or not, but yes.
Wow. Because this is a great song.
Yeah, in the US, their most known song is Cult of Personality from 1988, which didn't do as well here. But it reached 13 in the US. It hit 54 here.
I was going to say, I don't think I know that song.
Yeah,
this is
I only
by
know
far
vaguely.
The most popular Living Colour song.
This was a big one here.
Yeah.
And you like it, yeah?
I do. I was listening to it again in the car this morning. Like, I sing along, like, I know all the lyrics.
I just find this group fascinating. And then when you look at when they talk about their genres and the style of music that they make, you kind of get it. So they're like a fusion influenced by heavy metal, funk, jazz, hip-hop, punk, and alternative rock.
Yes, it's a very much a melding pot of all of that, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really quite fantastic and it's fascinating. And this is a really great song and it tells a story so well.
Yes.
And the film clip was great, which is good because it needed a good film clip to go with this fantastic song.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were actually discovered. So the band became experienced at touring and performing regular gigs at CBGBs, which we've talked about. Yes, very famous club.
Right. Is that still in existence?
Not per se.
Okay.
Yeah. Around this time, their career also benefited from Rolling Stones singer Mick Jagger's involvement. Jagger was aware of Living Colour from working with bassist Doug Wimbish, and after going to see the band live at CBGB's, he went on to produce 2 of their demos. His endorsement encouraged Epic Records to sign Living Colour, and interviewed in 2018, Vernon Reid looked back on the deal as a bittersweet triumph. He said, "We had to get the co-sign from a person who literally embodied what rock and roll is. The fact that he had to come and see us and dig us for us to get at the back of the line is crazy."
Yeah, wow.
But imagine that though, like, yeah, Mick Jagger coming and saying, I like you guys.
I like you. Yeah, I'm going to throw you a rope here.
Yeah, like, good on Mick Jagger.
That's awesome. Good taste, Mick, good taste.
Yes. You know, they've done very well with things like Grammys as well. So they've released 6 studio albums so far.
Mm-hmm.
And they rose to fame with their debut album Vivid in 88. And so that song, Cult of Personality, I was talking about, won them a Grammy Award for Best Hard Rock Performance in 1990. They were also named Best New Artist at the 89 MTV Video Music Awards and won their 2nd Grammy Award for their follow album, Time's Up. Their 3rd album, Stain, was also well received by music critics. After disbanding in 95, they did reunite in late 2000 and released 3 more studio albums since then. I hadn't heard anything of them after that, so...
I wonder if they're still doing anything over there.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of their other catalogue, I must admit, but as you say, was huge here. I think it's been on best song lists here. Triple M, I think I remember hearing a best of list. This was in it.
Yeah.
That's a rock kind of.
Yeah. And they really were a moment in time because they, in 1991, also joined the inaugural Lollapalooza tour.
Ooh.
Which would have been a really big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Good song. And if you don't know it, go check it out.
Have a listen.
All right, number two. I already know Emma's going to hate this one. It's Another Bad Creation with Aisha. The song reached 9 in the US, and on Wikipedia, they didn't actually list where it got to in Australia. My chart book said it got to 5 in Australia. I know that chart book sometimes has some has a different chart, but it went top 10 in Australia.
Did it?
Yes. Mm. You know who bought that at the time?
You.
This guy here. Come at me, Emma Louise, with your hate speech.
I did not.
Hating on children.
Purchase this at the time. I do recall it. But like, yeah, it's not my thing. I played it in the car again this morning and I think my dad said it best when he's like, this is an assault on the ears.
How old is your father?
69.
Okay.
I agree with him. It's a lot. It's just, there was a lot thrown into that. Like, a lot.
This feels hateful.
Shut up with your hate speech.
I'm not giving a single piece of hate speech. I love it.
Yeah,
It's New Jack Swing. You know, it's very
New Jack Swing.
So it was very, very. You know, like a
what is New Jack Swing?
An awesome style of music from the early 90s. So Belle Biv DeVoe did a lot of New Jack Swing. And
I owned a Belle Biv DeVoe album. I liked Belle Biv DeVoe.
Well, it's the same style of music, just with different singing.
Worse than Belle Biv DeVoe.
Wow.
Sorry, not sorry.
Because, you know, they came about via, you know, Belle Biv DeVoe and Michael Bivins. Mm. Okay.
They're from Atlanta, Georgia.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia has created so many great musicians over the years and drag queens. they had two hits in the US as well. They had a second one, Playground, which went top 10 as well.
Okay.
They did have some later R&B hits, but that was their two big hits. And their album reached number 7 in the US as well and eventually went platinum. Mm.
Did they last for long?
A little while, but I think, you know, when you get together that young, I think it's meant for a short time. But then I say that the New Edition lasted for a very long time. And then, you know, members of New Edition form Belle Biv DeVoe and they had the reunion all those years later. So I guess this is what this was modelled after. Mm. And if you look from from that same stable of artists as well, you have like Boyz II Men came from this genre and came from this style as well. Like Motown Philly, Boyz II Men is a New Jack Swing song.
Okay. How old were these guys at the time?
Young.
Very young.
I didn't write that down. But I think it's a cute song. It's cute. And did you watch the film clip?
No.
The film clip is so much fun.
Is it?
Yes. It is. And they keep them young, which is good. They're not trying to turn them into something men that they're not. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And it's cute. And he knocks on the door and with the girl and she kisses him on the cheek.
Okay,
and,
cute.
You know, it's all harmless and you know, it was kids making music for kids.
Okay.
And adults who liked it.
Because they've been compared a little bit to Jackson 5, for instance. I think because there's 5 of them and they were quite young, but it's no real competition.
So I think the comparison is more to New Edition, who were modelled after Jackson 5. So I guess it's that next, you know, it's that next generation.
Yeah.
And it did go Jackson 5, New Edition.
Speaking of Jacksons, they actually appeared, or a couple of them did, Mark and Dave. They appeared among other children like Macaulay Culkin in Michael Jackson's Black and White video.
Yes.
They also did other stuff. They made an appearance in a movie called Meteor Man where they dyed their hair blonde for it and done a bit of acting.
Yeah. And, you know, the group was Rommel, Roro Chapman, Chris Sellers, David Shelton and brothers Demetrius and Marlis, who were known as Red and Mark, respectively.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Nice.
So really they were doing the circuit of things. So you were just talking about doing the Michael Jackson clip and also the movie. They also appeared on In Living Colour, the comedy show that had the Wayans brothers. And also it was Jim Carrey's starts. I remember my brother and I used to love that show. We talked about it before because J-Lo used to be one of the dancers. She was one of the Fly Girls on that show.
The Fly Girls.
So, they appeared on the show as well, where Keenan Ivory Wayans introduced them, comparing them to the Jackson 5, New Edition and The Boys. But I understand that it's not high art. I understand it's not the greatest song of all time, but I think it's fun. And when I listen to it, I still feel joy from it. And I love it. And I played all these songs in the car on the way to work yesterday, and I was loving the hell out of this song.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I was singing for Aisha. Aisha, Aisha. Yeah, it's a great song.
We disagree, but that's okay.
Hateful. All right, let's move on to our top song for this week. And it's a very different one. It's Chris Isaak, Wicked Game. The song reached 15 in Australia, 10 in the UK, 6 in the US and 1 in Belgium.
Oh, only hit 1 in Belgium.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a huge song here and I really like it.
Good. Just as well. I literally would have...
You were literally just holding your breath then waiting.
I was about to throw something at you.
No, it's a good song. Chris Isaak...
He's an attractive man.
See, isn't that funny? Because he's like, I was never sexy.
Really?
Yeah, because he's on all the...
You were never sexy.
Well, he said...
He just said I was never sexy.
Oh, sorry.
Because I seem to remember you getting out there and looking sexy.
Hey. Yeah. But no, he's been on every sexiest man alive list in the world probably.
Including mine, when
asked about it, he's sort of said, I'll tell you something. I mean, I'm thrilled that kind of stuff happened because when I was growing up, no one ever said, oh, you're sexy. The first thing that people would say when I came into the door was, do you box? Because my nose was knocked off one side of my face, usually after fights, because he was a boxer. Something about his music, though, and the way he sings has that sex appeal.
It's that crooner element.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking about it because I was just listening to it on the way here, and I was thinking about how he became successful because of David Lynch, essentially.
Largely.
Being used in Wild at Heart, which is a fantastic film. And I was thinking about David Lynch loves Roy Orbison.
Mm-hmm.
And used Roy Orbison music in so much of his films. And I could see that similarity in their style and voices.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, it's that beautiful tone and, it's that crooning sound.
Yeah.
And it's just that kind of music that breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Like, and a voice that breaks your heart when you hear it.
He's got a magnificent voice. His range.
Yeah.
To go from quite low and sultry to nice and quiet. Yeah.
And I just love, I never knew the inspiration for the song, and then finding out what the inspiration was, it's just hilarious. So he says, this one night I wrote really late at night and it was written in a short amount of time because I remember that a girl had called me and said, I want to come over and talk to you.
She didn't want to talk.
And talk was a euphemism. And she said, I want to come over and talk to you until you're no longer able to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, you're coming over. And as soon as I hung up, I thought, oh, my God, she's going to be trouble. She's always been trouble. She's a wildcat. And here I am. I'm going to get killed, but I'm doing this. And I wrote Wicked Game, World's on Fire and No One Can Save Me But You. It's like you start thinking about it. And by the time she came over to the house, I had the song written. And I think she was probably upset because I was more excited by the song. I was like, yes, you're gorgeous, baby, but listen to this song.
Meanwhile, she just wants to talk, if you know what I mean.
But it is a great line, the world's on fire and no one can save me but you.
Yes.
But then you hear that in there with like, and I don't want to fall in love with you.
Yeah. he has done a lot of acting too with David Lynch. You mentioned David Lynch before. He was in that Twin Peaks.
Fire Walk With Me. Yeah. Great film.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen that actually.
I saw it at the cinema and I loved it.
Mm. The video for this, you remember the video for this?
Oh, do I?
Hot. Who's the model in it? Helena?
Helena Christensen.
Yes.
Who was always that second tier of models.
You reckon?
No, as in like fame-wise. You know, like I feel like she was on that, like just on that second tier. Like she wasn't Naomi Campbell or Cindy Crawford.
Yes, she was.
I know, but I don't think she was as successful as those guys.
Stop it. I reckon she was.
You just had to ask who she was then?
No, you know my memory.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. But you would remember Naomi Campbell and Cindy Crawford and Elle Macpherson.
I remember Helena Christensen.
Yeah, I just think she was at the next level.
Oh, hate speech.
On a 10-tier platform, she was at two and Naomi and Cindy were at one.
I disagree. But the video, we digress.
Yeah.
The video was...
We'll rank models in another episode.
directed by a famous fashion photographer. Herb Ritts.
Herb Ritts has made some stunning stuff over the years. Herb Ritts.
Other music videos?
Yeah.
Has he?
Right. Love Will Never Do Without You, Janet Jackson.
Oh.
In the Closet, Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
He's taken some beautiful photos of Madonna as well.
Mm.
Yeah, he did Madonna's Cherish music video as well.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it's that look that he does. And he loved black and white.
Yes, yes.
And clearly loves the beach too.
Clearly. Yeah, good film clip, good song.
You know, it's often on the list of sexiest music videos ever.
It doesn't surprise me. It's pretty sexy. Helena Christensen, after all.
Yeah. Who's she?
Chris Isaak was in That Thing You Do as well, apparently. I don't know what part he was.
It took me for a second to realise that you were talking about the film That Thing You Do because you pointed at me and said, sorry. Chris Isaak was in That Thing You Do. And I'm like...
Not That Thing You Do. The film, you know, that we talked about last week.
I got it after you said it. I was just
apparently
like,
he was in that. So I was excited. I have to watch it again to see where he was.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our top five from 1991. Let us know what your favourite of them was.
This is a flashback.
A blast from the past. Yesterday.
Our classic theme chosen last time was songs starting with the letter M. So many to choose from. Emmy, you struggled.
Yeah, I did struggle because, I don't know, there are a lot of songs starting with the letter M, but I couldn't.
I think for me there's a list of songs that I really want to do, and so this was almost like, oh, I can check this one off now.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah no, look, I'm glad that I chose the one I chose because I've been meaning to talk about this one for a long time now. It could have been in our One Hit Wonders category back a couple of years ago.
I think we always talked about doing it. We never did.
Yeah, we never did. And it deserves talking about. So without further ado, I'll let you know that I chose Mickey by Tony Basil. Mickey is a song recorded by American singer and choreographer Tony Basil for her debut studio album Word of Mouth back in 1981. Mike Chapman and Nicky Chinn wrote the song, which was originally performed by British pop group Racy with the title Kitty and was included on their debut studio album as well. It's called Smash and Grab back in 1979. This original Racy song, though, did not include the "Oh, Mickey, you're so fine" chant. That was, in fact, what Basil added herself. And I think that really sets the song apart, in my opinion. I used to absolutely love dancing around to this in my lounge room as a little girl, fake pom-poms and all. And, you know, even still to this day, I think when it's played at a retro club, I will get down. The song reached number one in the US, Canada, and right here in Australia, number two in the UK and New Zealand, and number three in South Africa and Ireland. It only got to number 39 in Belgium and Netherlands and 69 in Germany. So I don't really know what they were doing.
They didn't think Mickey was that fine.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. What do you think, Wayne?
It's a fun song.
Yes.
It is a fun song. You can't help but not like it and sing along.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is a very singable song.
Mm. And that cheerleader stuff that she put in. Well, because she was actually a cheerleader herself. Yeah. So she had come up with that concept, I think, before she even attached it to this particular song. Because, yes, she was a cheerleader at the Las Vegas High School, now known as the Las Vegas Academy. And that's why in the sweater that she wears in the video, it actually says LVHS for Las Vegas High School. She also made this clip before MTV went to air. So the video first established her in the UK, where various TV shows played it and sent the song up the charts. So it peaked in the UK in February, I think, of 1982. But in America, it took a while before MTV sort of picked it up and started playing it on rotation. But then when they did, the song really took off, of course, as I said, reaching number one. But that didn't happen until December 1982.
There we go. Yeah. Good songs sometimes can take a while.
They can.
I think it's really interesting. So it was written by the songwriting team of Mike Chapman and Nikki Chin, mm-hmm. who wrote some really amazing pop songs.
Yes.
They wrote Love is a Battlefield and Ballroom Blitz.
Ballroom Blitz.
Which always reminds me of Wayne's World.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I know the original's great, but I love the Tia Carrera version.
Yeah, totally. And Basil herself, I didn't realise she was a choreographer as well, but quite successful choreographer. Yes. She's done choreography for, again, I'm mentioning That Thing You Do, the movie. She did choreography in that.
Well, God, people reckon I talk about Madonna a lot.
It's just a coincidence this week. My Best Friend's Wedding, that film, yeah. She did choreo for that.
I remember seeing her as a guest judge on So You Think You Can Dance America.
Okay.
So she did some episodes of that as well.
Yeah. And she directed music videos as well, including remember the Talking Heads video for Once in a Lifetime where David Byrne was doing all the wacky dance moves and yeah. stuff? She directed that.
There you go.
Yeah. Talented lady.
Very much so.
Apparently she was brought up in a show business type home. Yeah. She was actually the daughter of Louis Basil, who led what was basically the house band at the Sahara Hotel in Vegas in the 60s.
I imagine if you go to Las Vegas High School that either your family works in entertainment or they were a gambler back
yeah,
then.
Yeah,
yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. But that was before Vegas was the destination place that it is today.
Yeah. So I wonder if she ever watched those shows. Apparently they were known for their loose rambunctiousness.
Well,
whatever you take that as being.
Now, another thing that she choreographed is the 1968 Monkees movie Head.
Huh.
But she insists that the song is not named after the group's Mickey, who's in the group of the Monkees. She also says there was nothing dirty about the song. It's just a chipper tune about a girl who really digs a guy.
That's right. There was controversy about that, wasn't yeah. it? Because something about do it to me any way you can, yeah, I'll take it like a man.
And you blow my mind, you know. It just, yeah.
See, this was never an issue.
Okay. Whoa, all right. Jeez, that was a big C. I felt like I was your child then. sorry. I never said it.
No, I think it's funny that, and she does too. She's come out in interviews sort of talking about this going, well, when it was done by
Racy,
named Kitty, it was never an issue when it was yeah. some guys talking about a girl, but as soon as it's flipped on its head and a girl is talking about this stuff to a guy, it's,
yeah.
oh, no, she's this and that. Oh, that's wrong, so wrong. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Get over it. Anyway.
100.
So, yes, good song. It's been covered a few times. Of course, Weird Al Yankovic has done a parody of it called Ricky, which I don't know that parody, I must admit.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
Bewitched, the Irish teen girl group, they did a version of this.
Oh, love Bewitched.
And that was at the end of the movie Bring It On.
Remember
the cheerleading
yeah.
movie? So that played there. And also, I didn't know this, Olivia Newton-John, backed up by her sister, also recorded apparently a very highly stylized version of this for the 2012 movie soundtrack of A Few Best Men.
Wow.
Which was that Aussie film that our friend Kim Nucky was in.
Okay, there you go.
So I haven't heard that version either, but
yeah,
our Olivia did it.
I feel like I want to have a listen now.
Yeah. So that's my choice. What have you taken us to this week, Wayne?
Well, I have chosen something very different.
Very, very different.
The only thing they have in common is they're both by women.
And they start with M.
Yes, exactly. I chose Tracy Bonham with Mother, Mother.
Perfect, never better. Still your daughter, still
Mother Mother is a song by Tracy Bonham from her debut album, The Burdens of Being Upright. Released on March 12, 1996, it became her most successful single. The song lyrics resemble a telephone call by a young woman to her mother. The verses detail her experiences with several mundane aspects of her daily life, but then the chorus provides an uglier, darker contrast with Bonham screening the lyrics leading up to the lines, "I'm freezing, I'm starving, I'm bleeding to death. Everything's fine." Bonham said the song is based on her experiences as a people-pleasing young woman calling home. She would make poor life choices yet didn't want her mum to know about it and wanted to pretend everything was fine when they talked on the phone. Haven't we all been there? It did best here in Australia. Another one of these ones that I thought was a massive hit everywhere. Mm. It reached 5 here in Australia. It also reached 6 in Norway and 13 in New Zealand.
Okay, yeah.
So it shocks me because, like, again, this song was everywhere. I bought the CD single and I played it over and over. And I was living away from home when this came out.
So you could relate.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good song. I like this song a lot. I don't know how I'd go if my daughter was singing that. Apparently her mum was quite okay about it, though. Like, she knew it wasn't a personal thing them.
And a lot of people thought that it was, that it was a song about being angry with her mother. But no, it's all about subtext. The chorus is her subtext. Her chorus is her what, you know, the verse is what she's really saying to her mum. The chorus is what she wished she could say, but she's buried it down.
Yes.
I don't think it's that hard to understand.
I think it's just that screamy stuff at the end. It's like, oh, my God.
Everything's fine.
Apparently that took quite a toll on her vocal cords when she was touring, and she had to actually cancel several dates on one of the tours and relearn how to scream it safely.
Yes. Fun fact. What did you do today, Tracy? I learned how to scream safely.
There is a way.
But this song, while it may not have gone as well in the regular charts, it reached number one on the Billboard magazine's Modern Rock Track charts in mid-1996. It was the last song by a female solo artist to top this chart until Royals by Lorde did it in 2013 when it had been renamed Billboard Alternative Songs.
That seems like a long time.
A really long time, yeah.
Because it's all about the guys.
Yeah.
In the alternative. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, because you think between all that time, all, you know, females who made alternative music, didn't hit number one, which is sad.
Weird. A couple of music videos were made for this one. Have you seen both?
I haven't. I have only seen the one in the attic.
And that's the more family-friendly VH1 kind of, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other one apparently was, it had actually her real life mother in it turning on the TV and I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I thought that's interesting.
It was really interesting. So when YouTube emerged, the alternative attic version was posted, but the original was nowhere to be found. Even Bonham couldn't get a copy of it. It finally showed up in 2018, but by then the attic video had millions of views and was entrenched as the main video for the song. So imagine that she couldn't even get a copy of it herself.
Yeah, like, right.
What do you mean you've lost it?
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird. She's been very successful. She's received 2 Grammy nominations, I think back in 97 for Best Alternative Album and Best Female Rock Vocal Performance. Only nominations, not
but wins. That was a tough time to be a female making alternative music because there were so many. Because we talked about this a few weeks ago when we talked about Fiona Apple and Paula Cole and Sean Colvin, all of those really fantastic ladies. Like, it was really big time for a different style of female music, which was great.
Yeah. She's also appeared with the Blue Man Group. Have you seen the Blue Man Group?
I have. Not in real life, but I've seen, you know, I know who they are. Yeah.
I saw them when they were in Sydney ages and ages ago. I'm talking years ago. They were phenomenal.
Was it a Sydney Festival thing? It feels like a Sydney Festival thing.
I don't know. I think it might have even been back when I was studying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, she's a violin player.
Is she?
She is a trained violin player, and she considered making that her career. But, you know, singing and songwriting just called to her. But she used violin in a lot of her songs to make them stand out, including this song. So then she would actually have to go on stage and play both the violin and sing, which again, she said was very hard at first, but then she devised a method where she was able to do both.
Wow, that would be difficult. Where would you put your microphone?
I have no idea. That would
be very hard.
But again, shows the talent that Tracy Bonham is.
Hats off to Tracy.
Yeah. So, yes, there you go. Those are two very different M songs.
Very different M songs, but, yeah, I enjoyed both.
Me too.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the final
countdown. So our artist this time is Richard Marx, who I think is a fascinating character. He has become really known in the last few years for being a Twitter personality, and will go after people.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way? Like how?
Oh, just people with very different political views, and a lot of right-wing people in America come after him, and he is really good at giving them takedowns.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I read his tweets and I smile often. He's just, yeah, he's a fascinating social media character.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got views and he stands by them and he's not afraid to say them. And I've always have respect for people to do that, particularly when I agree with their views.
Well, yes, it's much easier
it's
when, like, when
it's
you're
like
aligned.
Kid Rock, you know, like yeah. I respect Richard Marx's views.
Nice. Yeah. When I was reading about him and his like he did appeal to me more now than, yes, back when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, sorry, Richard, I didn't really rate him, but I wasn't meant to. He wasn't making music for young girls.
Yeah.
You know, he was making it more for the adult contemporary.
Having said that, I remember some girls at my high school who really
loved
him.
Who were Richard Marx crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
They loved a good mullet.
I think it was the hair. I didn't love the hair, but anyway.
Well, let's get on with it.
Let's hear some more about Richard.
Let's break down some Richard Marx. Richard Marx has sold over 30 million albums worldwide and is the only male artist in history to have his first 7 singles reach the top 5 of the Billboard charts. He has scored a total of 14 number one singles, both as a performer and a songwriter and producer. That's pretty impressive.
That is. Did you say his first 7 singles reached the top 5 in the US?
Yes.
That is insane.
That is insane.
Well, congratulations to Richard.
Yeah.
Clearly I have no taste in music, or didn't back when I was a kid.
I think in Australia some of the songs hit, not all of them hits. Mm-hmm. But then when we've loved Richard, we've loved him here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of his songs have been absolutely massive.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
But let's have a look at the top 5, and I think this is a really strong top 5.
Okay.
At number 5 was the 3rd single from Repeat Offender. It reached 32 in Australia, 45 in the UK, 4 in the US and 1 in Canada. It's Angelia. At 4 was the 4th single from Richard Marx, 16 in Australia, 50 in the UK and 2 in the US. It's Endless Summer Nights. At 3 was the 2nd single from Richard Marx. It reached 9 in Australia, 50 in the UK and 3 in the US. It's Should Have Known Better. At 2 was the 2nd single from Repeat Offender. It reached 2 in the UK and 1 in Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand and the US. It's Right Here Waiting. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. And at number 1 was the 2nd single from Rush Street. It reached 1 in Australia, 9 in the US and 3 in the UK. It's Hazard. We used to walk down the river. She loved to watch the sun go down.
Okay, so Hazard did win.
Hazard did win. It was very close, and then in the end, it took it away.
I must admit, I'm not a massive fan of Hazard.
Our listeners will disagree.
Yeah, well, and that's, well, no, you said it was close because I like Right Here Waiting. Yeah. Right Here Waiting is a pretty beautiful song.
I feel like with Right Here Waiting, I didn't like it when I was younger because it just was played
so much
to death. As we said, it was a number one song in Australia. It was played everywhere. I think, you know, when I was young, I didn't quite understand the song.
Yeah.
So I didn't appreciate it. I was listening because I was driving yesterday and listening to all the songs, and it is such a beautiful song.
Yeah.
It is just.
It is.
It reminds me a little bit of John Farnham's Burn For You.
But better.
But I love John Farnham's Burn For You. It's probably my favourite John Farnham song.
Yeah.
Both exquisite, beautiful songs, and Richard's voice just sounds so lovely on the song.
I agree. So Right Here Waiting would have beat Hazard. For me, should have known better. That was big here too.
Yeah.
Not one of my faves.
Okay.
Do you like that song?
I do. I like some of the rockier stuff.
I think he's great at ballads. Like the Endless Summer Nights is another one I enjoy.
Yeah.
And I don't know Angelia. What's that one?
Angelia. It's a bit of a ballad. It's an early one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing it because his voice is nothing like mine. His voice is much higher than
really?
Mine. His voice is much higher. I'm a little deeper.
So what were the rest of the top 10?
Okay, so six great songs. Satisfied. Won't give up until I'm satisfied. No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seven, Hold On To The Nights. Hold on to the... Okay, all right. It's going to keep going. Eight, Take This Heart. Nine, Too Late To Say Goodbye. And 10, Chains Around My Heart.
Uh-huh.
Clearly I know more Richard Marx than you.
What are your top Richard Marx songs?
And now it's funny that I actually would say it probably is Right Here Waiting. I do love Hazard. I think Hazard is a really great story song. Endless Summer Nights as well.
We agree.
I do like Endless Summer Nights. I think it's a really nice song.
Yeah.
And again, I love the message in it.
Yeah.
I hear it. It gives me a feeling of nostalgia and happiness.
Nice.
Now, for all of that success, it is really surprising that he didn't win his first Grammy until 2004.
Yes, he won that for a song he wrote with Luther Vandross, didn't he?
Yeah. The song Dance With My Father, which was written in remembrance of Vandross's father, and it was one of the last that Luther recorded. Sir Marx and Celine Dion performed it at the Grammy Awards because Vandross was in recovery after suffering from a stroke. The song earned Marx a Grammy for Song of the Year, and then sadly Vandross lost his life a year later in 2005.
Yeah. Wow, but that is surprising that none of his earlier stuff.
Yes, I like that Right Here Waiting did not win a Grammy.
He would have been nominated, for different things, surely. Well, you would think. He spent a lot of time sort of in the background for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's like we were talking about with Wendy Matthews before, how I said you have to be a talent to be a background singer, and he has done that.
Yes, because he started out because he was born to musically inclined parents. His dad actually founded a jingle company. He wrote jingles. Yeah. And so he had Richard singing jingles from when he was about 5 years old. And then he began writing his own songs as a teenager. At 17, he connected with Lionel Richie, and then Richard gave Lionel a couple of his demos, and a year later moved to LA and met with Richie and then started working with him as a backing vocalist. And since then he worked with Madonna, were you saying?
Yay, yes. One of my favourite tracks from the True Blue album, White Heat.
Oh, okay. Julio Iglesias.
Yeah.
And Luther Vandross.
So he also worked on. So here's some of the big songs he's worked on: Saving All My Love For You, All at Once, Greatest Love of All with Whitney Houston.
Ooh.
He did backing vocals. Peebo Bryson did some great stuff with Peebo. Ever You're In My Arms Again. Love that song. Lionel Richie's All Night Long and You Are and Running with the Night. Some stuff with George Benson, Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
Michael Bolton, Billy Joel.
Wow.
So clearly very respected guy. And the first songs that he wrote as well. So he got his big break in songwriting in 84 when two songs that he'd written, Crazy and What About Me, were recorded by none other than Kenny Rogers.
Yay.
And Crazy hit one on the country charts. Well, What About Me reached number one on the adult contemporary charts.
Awesome.
So, bit of talent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was after that that he's, because it wasn't the late 80s, sort of 87 onwards, he sort of started his own solo stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the more, like, you know, like when we've talked about artists before, sometimes you research an artist and you're like, I don't like that person. Researching Richard Marx, I'm like,
I liked him more after reading
it. I like this guy. Yes. Yeah.
And even about his musical influences, saying, you know, he loved legends like Elvis Presley, Sam Cooke, of course, but some of his favourite singers-songwriters, Elton John, Steve Tyler from Aerosmith, U2, Gladys Knight, Annie Lennox, you know, all these.
Earth, Wind and Fire. Yeah.
And again, I love those people, so.
Yeah, and he has said, for me, being a musician is not about an image or controversy or what looks cool. It's about the music. It comes down to having the privilege of expressing yourself. Mm. And, you know, that's certainly what he's done. And, yeah, written some really beautiful songs and sung some really beautiful songs.
Indeed.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually, I can't, yeah, I'm happy that we, I was a bit hesitant last week when you said
Richard. Yes, you were. I was there.
I'm happy that we did.
Now,
I'm happy that we did.
Let's get the dice and look at our classic theme.
All right, roll
it. All right, roll that dice.
Number 19.
Number 19. Song that a close friend of yours loves.
So either one of us, or we could pick another close friend.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we shouldn't pick each other.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, let's pick a different friend, because we get to pick a lot of songs. That's so
true. Let's pick another.
We do have other friends, we promise.
Do we?
Yes. So a song that a close friend loves. So okay. I think that'll be nice.
That will be nice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. And our next thing. So this is a female artist. So right. She did begin in the very end of the 80s, had a great career in the 90s, had a huge amount of number ones in America from one album, essentially. She was started as a cheerleader. And as a choreographer.
No, we've done Paula Abdul.
We have not done Paula Abdul as a featured artist, no.
Oh, so Paula.
Yes.
There you go. She was the only one that came to my mind when you said cheerleader and
yeah, unless we did Tony Basil, but well, that would have been. But, yeah. And the top five is Mickey.
Followed by Mickey.
So, yes, Paula Abdul. Everything from Straight Up to Opposites Attract to Rush, Rush, Promise of a New Day. My Love is For Real. Some great songs.
Nice. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll catch you next time.
Okay, bye.